All right. Well, good morning. I'm glad that you've decided to listen to the service today. I do wish we could be together, and hopefully this will all come to an end pretty soon. We can be back together in fellowship and see one another. But I do want you to turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I do trust that you had a good Easter Sunday last week. I know it was different, but I do hope that you were able to be together and hopefully just remember what Easter is about and the importance of it. And I hope that today that you are still doing well. And if you have your Bible, you can go ahead and turn, like I said, to chapter 15. We'll be looking at verse 20 through 28. Last week, I did a sermon on Easter, so we'll go back to what I enjoy doing best, and that is going through a book of the Bible. And the title here is A Better Understanding of Christ. I entitled it A Better Understanding of Christ. And the aim or the goal of today's message is basically this: how to be like Christ. You know, again, that's, you know, sometimes we make Christianity so complicated. But in reality, all we're supposed to do is be like Christ. And so that's what we're going to look at today. So I was thinking many times kids want to be like somebody. You know, I was thinking sometimes a kid want to be someone famous, like an athlete, a singer, an artist, just maybe an older cousin, a role model, you know, somebody they want to be like. And just like all kids, I did want to be like someone. Now, it wasn't just one person, really, but it was a group of people. And what I wanted to be when I was a kid was I wanted to be an Indian. And what I mean by that, I mean a Native American. I was fascinated. I was crazy about Indians. I used to make Indian necklaces. One of my favorite ones was a bear claw necklace that I got. I remember my aunt went to the Cherokee, North Carolina one year and brought back me a tomahawk. I had a headdress. I had moccasins. And if you went to my room, I had pictures of an Indian, like, framed, you know, in my bedroom. And, I used to have a little jacket that I wore to school that had fringe on it with beads. And, I didn't want to be a cowboy. I wanted to be an Indian. I mean, it used to upset me when I was a kid, because I had to wear a hearing aid. Not because it was different, but because I knew that Indians didn't wear hearing aids. You know, back in the old days, they didn't wear hearing aids, and I didn't want to wear a hearing aid. I mean, I didn't want to wear it. And so anyway, I remember it used to upset me. So I wanted to be one, and I did my best to become one. And so what did you do? I tried to get a better understanding of Indians. So I did the best thing you could do. I went to the best source, movies. For a kid, the best way to know about Indians is to watch a movie. I used to watch Cochise. I used to watch Geronimo. I had a movie called Indian Paint. I even had a Little House on the Prairie movie that was called Indian Kid, about a runaway Indian. And I never liked Little House on the Prairie, and I still don't, but I used to watch that movie because it had an Indian in it. I would watch these movies, and I would apply what I learned to my life. For example, I don't remember the movie, but I was a kid and had an Indian in it, which I think he might be a famous Indian, I'm not sure, but his name was Crazy Horse. And one thing Crazy Horse did was either he lost his wife or something, he was upset, and he went up in a mountain to grieve, and one thing he did was he tied a rock to his ear. And I don't know why, but I remember one afternoon in my bedroom, I had a rock, and I attempted to tie it to my ear. And I continued not to be able to do that. And my sister walked in and saw what I was doing or asked me what I was doing. I said, I'm trying to tie this rock to my ear like Crazy Horse did in the movie. And she said in a sarcastic way, remember his name, Crazy. And what she was trying to imply was I was just as crazy as he was. Which that wasn't nothing new for my sister to think I was crazy. Now, you say, what does this have to do with me? Well, this morning I thought about the story of myself and wanting to be an Indian, and that we should have a desire to be like Christ. Just like I had a desire as a kid to be an Indian. I mean, if my mother would have let me, I would have had long hair. Because Indians had long hair. I mean, that's how dedicated I was. I would have done a lot of things my mom and dad would have let me to become an Indian. I had a desire. And today, we, or all of us who are saved, are supposed to have a desire to be like Christ. Just like a 10-year-old boy had a desire and would do anything to become an Indian. You and I are to have a desire to be like Christ. And the way that we become like Christ, if we have we need to have a better understanding of who he is. Just like that, I used to watch the movie to try to understand what Indians were like. I used to go to the library. I never liked to read a lot. And I remember going to the library in elementary school, and I would get books on Indians, the picture books. We have to understand, if we want to be like something, we have to understand what that is. Like, if we want to be like Christ, we have to have a better understanding of him. Now, here's the next question we have to ask. What does all of this have to do with the text in chapter 15? Well, in these verses in chapter 15, let's look here at verse 20. And I'm not going to read to verse 28 right now, but we'll read verse 20 and through 22. It says this, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, even so Christ shall be made alive. Now if you continue to read to verse 28, you'll see here that the word Christ, on the pronoun referring to Christ, he used give or take about 12 times. I didn't really count it exactly, but about 12 times in these 8 verses, Paul mentions the word Christ over and over. And by the way, the whole chapter 15 is about Jesus Christ. So now, when you consider the context of this passage, and get into the context, some of these Christians were being misguided by an unknown source of false teaching. And they, and we talked about this about 4 weeks ago, they denied the resurrection of the saints. And in doing this, Paul said, if you deny the resurrection of the saint, then you have indirectly denied the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is what he talked about in the verses before. And so as doing this, he began to explain how Jesus resurrected. But in doing this, in verses 20-28, he digresses into talking about Jesus Christ, and especially Jesus Christ at the end times, okay? And in doing this, he reveals 3 things about Jesus. He, number one, reveals his provisions. Let's look here at verse 20-23. And this is not the sermon, but I just want you to see this and understand the text. And we've already read verse 20, 21, and 22. And it says here in verse 23, for by every man in his own order Christ, the first fruit after day that are Christ at his coming. In these 3 verses, Paul reveals Christ's provisions for us. The fact that he died on the cross. Verse 24-26, he reveals his power. And I'm going to read verse 24. It says here, but then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall put down all rule and all authority and power. So what we see here in verse 24 and in verse 25-26 is that Paul reveals to us the power that Christ has. Then in verse 27-28, we'll see here that Paul reveals Christ's position. It says in verse 28, it said here, and when all things be subdued to him, then shall the Son himself also be subject to him, and put all things under him, that God may be all in all. So we'll see here that Jesus places himself under God the Father. Okay? So my point in telling you this, and that these 8 verses are packed full about Jesus Christ. So here's the question. How do we apply this knowledge to our life? How do we apply the fact that God provided? How do we apply to our life that God is powerful, or Jesus is powerful? And how do we apply the fact that God, or Jesus, positions himself under God? Well, that's what we'll talk about. How do we apply this to help us be more like Christ? Well, number one, here's the first thing you need to do to be more like Christ, and this is the first point. Accept his atonement. Accept his atonement. Let's look here in verse 20 again. It said, but now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruit of them that slept. For since by man came death. So let's stop right there. The first thing I want to point out this morning is the problem. The problem. If you're taking notes, it's the first letter. It's letter A. The problem. Paul reveals a problem in these verses. And that problem is death. Death. Paul says right here, he said that sent by man came death. That right there, Paul reveals to us that the start of death. In verse 21, he said, for by man came death. And what that is talking about is Paul's referring all the way back to Genesis when Adam sinned. And he said, because of Adam's sin, that was the start of death. And we know that in Genesis 5:5, then Adam died. And because Adam died, any person after that will die as well. That's the problem. We see the start of sin, but also see the scope of death. Look at verse 22. He said, for and all in Adam, for as in Adam, all died. So what we see here, here's the scope of death. See, the problem is that Adam sinned. That was the start of sin. Now the scope of sin is the fact that because of Adam, each and every one of us will die because of sin. That's the scope. That's how wide it is. Here's the thing. I talked about it last week. We're going to talk about it again today. Because of sin, each person will die. Each person will die physically. What we talked about last week. And without Jesus Christ, we also will die spiritually. Okay? So that is the problem. Paul reveals that here in verse 20 and 21. But now we see the provisions. Look with me in the same verses. It says in verse 21, for as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall be made alive. That's verse 22. Look at verse 21. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. What a wonderful verse. And then it says here, these two verses tell us that they're the problem. The problem that we're sinners, and we're going to die, and we're going to die and go to hell. But we have a provision, and that provision is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Verse 20 says, but now Christ is risen from the dead. We talked about it last week, we'll talk about it again today. He said, Jesus died for our sins. Not only did he die, but he also resurrected. Verse 20 and verse 21 both say that he resurrected. So here's the results. He says, shall be made alive. Obviously, that's a spiritual alive. Because we all are going to die still, physically. So in the context here, we know that what he's talking about, he's talking about a spiritual life. And he's talking about a way to be able to escape the second death. That's hell. Or really, the lake of fire. Now, here's what I want you to understand now. I want you to draw your attention to verse 22. And it says this, for as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. I want you to underline two words. If you got your Bible open, I want you to underline the word in Christ. Because what I want you to understand this morning is that God did, or Jesus, God sent his son Jesus to atone for our sin. He died on the cross for my and your sin. But the problem is that to be able to have that salvation, you have to be in Christ. That means that you have to trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. There's so many people who say, well, I know Jesus existed. I know he died on the cross. But here's the question. Do you believe? Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Because he said in Christ. See, just because Jesus died on the cross doesn't mean everybody's going to heaven now. It means that everybody has the opportunity to put their faith and trust in him. In Christ. Not in yourself. Not in your church membership. Not in the fact that your mom and dad went to church. Not in the fact that you know the Bible. But in the fact that you will be saved from hell and from your sin because you are in Christ. I want you to understand that. And the way we're in Christ is through faith in the fact that he died and resurrected for our sins. So Paul here gives us a better understanding of Christ. He basically tells us this. He provided atonement for our sin by dying on the cross. So what do you need to do? This morning, what do we need to do with that? Well, if you're here or you're listening, you and you're not saved, the first thing you need to do is you accept his atonement. You need to accept the fact that Jesus died on the cross and surrender your life and get saved. Because you cannot become like Christ unless you accept his atonement. See, God did provide. So God provided his son to die on the cross. And what we have to do, if you're not saved, you have to accept his atonement. So to become like Christ, we first need to accept his atonement. But secondly, we need to accept his authority. Accept his authority. Look at verse 24 through 26. I'll read these verses. And it said this, then cometh the end. Now, this is talking about the end of time. This is most likely at the end of the tribulation. This is when at the end of the millennial reign, most likely. I'm not going to be honest with you. I get a little confused reading these verses. I read behind John Philip MacArthur, Robert Piccirilli. But the point, I'll say this, this is really not about trying to figure out all the end time thing. The point here is that the end of time, this is what Jesus is going to do. And this is what it said in verse 24. When he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So what you see here, you see his authority. Paul, in these verses, reveal that Jesus has authority in two ways. The first thing is, in what he possesses, his possession. Look at verse 24 again. It says, then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God. Here's the setting. It's the end of time. The rapture took place. You'll see that in verse 23. It says, but at every man in all order Christ, the first fruit after the day that are Christ at his coming. So the rapture is taking place. Most likely a tribulation has taken place. Christ has reigned for 1,000 years, and every power has been destroyed. Now, Jesus does something. He delivers the kingdom to God the Father. So what does that tell me? That tells me that Jesus possessed the kingdom. It tells me that he had all authority. We see in his possession that Christ had the authority. And this goes right along with Matthew 28, verse 18. You know, you interpret the Bible in light of the Bible. Matthew 28, verse 18 said this. Jesus revealed this. He said, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. The ESV says this. All authority is in heaven and earth have been given to me. I want you to understand that the fact that Jesus at the end time will possess the kingdom, and he will possess the earth, he will possess heaven, and he will give it back to the Father. You know what that tells me? That tells me that Jesus Christ has authority. But not only in his possession, but also in his power. Look at verse 24. It says this, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down. Look, and don't read past that. There's two words there I want you to look at. Put down. And this doesn't mean to put down. You know, I'll say, hey, can you put that down? Like something on a shelf? That's not what it's talking about. The word put down means to put out of work. Robert's word picture said it means to abolish. The ESV translated to destroy. And it says there to, when God has destroyed all rule and all authority and power, He destroys everything. He destroys all the supernatural. He destroys all the human authorities. He destroys all the power and all the rulers, whether, no matter where they're at, whether spiritual or physical, He destroys all of them. Man, how powerful Jesus really is. How much authority Jesus had. Now look at verse 25 and 26. He says this too. He says, "For He must reign until He has put down all enemies under His feet." Once again, it's the ideal that Jesus defeats. But look at verse 25, or 26, excuse me. "The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." Now, I know that, you stay with me, because I know that something's not quite as much, you know, as much on, it's not as exciting, I know that, okay? Get a little more factual, but stay with me, this is interesting. Now, here's the question I ask myself. Did Jesus not defeat death? You know, we say it all the time, when Jesus resurrected, He defeated death, and He defeated sin. And Brother Mike's in the back, and I think he would agree with me. We say that, right? So here's the question. Then why is He said, it says here that the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Well, here's the thing. Jesus did defeat death, but death is not destroyed yet. We say, what do you mean? Well, do people still die? Yeah. People die every day. People still die because Jesus has defeated death, but He's not destroyed yet. Revelation reveals that Revelation said, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." That's in the context here. That's what Jesus is doing. At the end of time, Jesus, after He ruled, after He would give the kingdom back to God, He will destroy death. Man, what kind of authority Jesus has. We see that Paul revealed that because His possession and His power, that Jesus has authority. Jesus has authority of all. I thought when I was writing this out, I couldn't help remember Matthew 8:27, when Jesus calmed the sea, and it said the men marveled, saying, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind should obey Him?" Here's what I want you to understand this morning. Jesus has authority. Jesus is the authority. You say, "So what do we need to do?" You say, you're listening to me right now, and you say, "What do I need to do?" You need to accept His authority. You see, to be like Christ, today you have to understand Jesus has the authority on all and to accept it. And you say, well, of course I do. Well, here's the thing. No, we don't. We love to tote the Bible around. We love to hit on it. We love to say, "Bless God, I love the Bible." We love to wear it on a shirt, Bible verses. But I'm afraid that we don't live it out. I'm afraid that we don't obey it. For example, I say this all the time, but I'm going to say it again. All right, you say Jesus is my authority, okay? Jesus said, "Love your enemies." Do you do that? Let somebody hit you in the mouth. Let somebody steal from you. Let somebody hurt your family member. Are you going to love them then? Uh-oh. The problem is that we don't always accept Jesus' authority as much as we think we do. See, the problem is that we love Jesus as our friend, but we don't always like Him as our king. We love Jesus for His power, but we don't always want His principles. Oh, everybody loves to claim the verse about Jesus' power, but they don't claim the verse to say, "If you love me, keep my commandments." See, today, if you want to be like Christ, you must accept Jesus' authority. You must realize that Jesus is the authority on life and not you. The way you were raised is not the authority. The way, what you think is not the authority. What you feel is right is not the authority. What the authority in life is the Word of God, Jesus. And you will never be like Christ until you accept the fact that Jesus is the authority. So if you want to be more like Christ, you need to learn to obey the authority, which is, by the way, the Word of God. Because John chapter 1 tells us that the Word became flesh. That's Jesus. Jesus is the authority. He is the Word. And for us to be like Christ, we have to accept that. And that's what these verses are. These verses here are giving us a better understanding that Jesus is the authority. So here's the thing. Number one, to become like Christ, you need to accept his atonement. Number two, you need to accept his authority. And finally, you need to accept his attitude. Look at verse 27 and 28. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under his feet, it is manifest that it is expected which did put all things under his feet, all things under him. If you're like me, that really confused me, but stay with me. Verse 28, when all things be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject to him, and put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Verse 27 and 28 are used to clarify a possible misunderstanding. See, in the previous verses, Paul stated that everything is under Jesus' feet. But there's one thing that's not under his feet. God the Father. Get what Robert Pickering really said. God himself is not part of all things. God cannot be submissive to man, not even to the God-man, Jesus Christ. So what verse 27 and verse 28 is, they are a clarification of a possible misunderstanding. But see, what Paul said, everything is under Jesus' feet. And based on what he said in verse 27 and 28, everything is under the feet of Christ except God Almighty, the Father. And to clarify this, Paul in verse 27 quote a prophecy. Verse 27 is a quote from Psalms 8:6. And this is what Psalm 8:6 says. Thou hast made him to have dominion over the works of thy hand, and thou hast put things under his feet. So what this, see, obviously, he quoted Psalm to let everybody know that, hey, everything under his feet that God allowed him, everything under Jesus' feet except God himself. The second thing we see here, that he revealed his position. Look at verse 28, and it says, when all things are subdued by Christ, then Christ will be subject to the Father. Look at that verse 28. It says here, and halfway through, it says, and the Son also shall be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. John Phillips says this, the Son has having all power at his disposal, gladly, willingly yields everything back to God. John MacArthur said this, Christ will continue to reign because his reign is eternal, but he will reign in his former full and glorious place within the Trinity, subject to God. See, Jesus is all God, but because of his role as the Son, he demonstrates submission. Jesus had an attitude of submission. By the way, that should tell you something, that submission does not make you less of a person. Just because you submit to your boss, just because you submit to your spouse, just because you submit to the government, does not make you less of a person. Especially the feminist movement, I'm going to stick this in here, I probably shouldn't, but the feminist movement said, if you submit, then you're less of a person. No, you're not. We all submit. Submission does not make you less of a person. Because Jesus was 100% God, but when he submitted in the garden to the will of God, and when he submitted in his position, he is still 100% God. So submission is not a bad thing. But anyway, but what do we need to do? We need to do the same thing. We need to accept his attitude. I almost changed it to this. We need to adopt his attitude. Christ had an attitude and demonstrated submission. Submission. And here's the thing. I wrote this down. You and I will never be like Christ without submission. We have to submit to God's word. We have to submit to one another. We have to submit our lives and our feelings to what God has told us to do. What keeps us from obeying God, what keeps us from being conformed to God, the image of Christ, is pride. We have to submit. And we see that here in the position of Christ. Christ said, I have all power, but I'm going to give it back to the Father, because he's the Father, and I'm the Son. Here's the thing tonight, or this morning, excuse me. Or whenever you're listening to it. You might be listening on Saturday night, I don't know. But whenever you listen to this, I want you to understand. I want you to have a better understanding of Christ. I want you to understand that Paul gives us a better understanding of Christ's provisions. That he provided salvation. I want you to have a better understanding that Christ is all-powerful. I want you to have a better understanding of where Jesus and his position's at. His position is subject to God the Father. And this should give us a better understanding. It should lead us to three things this morning to become like Christ. Number one, accept his atonement. You will never be like Christ if you do not accept his salvation. Unless you accept his atonement and become a new creature, which we talked about last week. You can't do it on your own. You can't be like Christ on your own. You have to have the power and the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. In your life. To be like Christ. You need to accept his authority. You want to be like Christ today? Accept his authority. Obey his authority. He is the authoritative word. Obey what the word of God says. That's what you have to do. But to do either one of them, you have to accept his attitude. An attitude of submission. You will never put your faith in Jesus Christ if you don't first surrender your life in humility. Humble yourself. You will never obey the Bible until you humble yourself. Let's do these three things today. If we do these things, I guarantee you will be more like Christ. Why? Because that's what the Word of God teaches us. Today, I'm not telling you what I think you should do. I'm telling you what the Word of God has taught us today. And I hope that each of us will take it and apply it to our lives. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for this day. I want to ask you to continue to be with us. We're in uncharted waters. And I do ask you to help us to be able to and shortly to be able to come back together and meet together as a body of believers. We still are a body of believers, but Lord, we do pray that you allow us to come back together, Lord. But Father, I ask you, as we look at your word today, and I ask you to help us to have a better understanding of you. Lord, help us to understand that you are, that you have provided salvation. Lord, help us to realize that you are all-powerful. Help us to realize that in your position as a son, may you demonstrate humility and submission. Father, I ask you to help us to do that today. Help us to accept your atonement if we haven't. Lord, if there's one that's listening not saved, I ask you to help them get saved. Father, I ask you to be the one, help them to, and for myself, we all struggle sometimes to accept your word as the authority. But Lord, you are the authority. And that's what we see today in your word. And Lord, help us to submit. Lord, help us to accept your attitude of submission in our lives. Father, I thank you for all that you've done, all that you're going to do in Christ's name. Amen.